Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast Journey.
Back again.
Today is Thursday, April the 23rd. I am your moderator, Naheem, joined by my devilish co-hosters, who shades and hosts. Join me in welcoming Desmadian, Demi, Cody, Giselle Hilton, and Jason Michael. Welcome, everybody.
What's up?
Very good, very good. Everybody's there. We are now a month left to our lockdown with new information being released. There's a new three-phase plan that's
reopened
America again. Desmond,
Demi,
how you two
feeling? I'm feeling good. I'm all right. Ready to get back out in the world.
Very good. Still eating, still surviving.
Very good. And Giselle, you're all the way down in Ohio, I still believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. How are you hanging down there?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Everything's great. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to get over this quarantine.
Exactly. I'm glad you had safe travels. We missed you last week. And to our
I missed you guys, too.
Very hey, good. We're glad to have you back. And our essential workers, Daylin and Coley, out there on the front line, still fighting the fight. How are you two feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good today. Honestly, I had to take a couple of days to work from home just because I was overwhelmed with some of the things that was going on and all the outreach and all the testing and different things. So, I feel a lot better at this point.
I'm feeling all right myself. We have a few programs rolling out to support you, so that's exciting.
Very good. Well, I'm glad to have you all back with us this week. Everybody alive and healthy. I guess at this point we can go ahead and jump into our weekly segment, the weekly tea. But before that, I do want to mention that the song you all heard at the top of today's segment was by J.R. Neutron, and it's titled Work This Pussy. It's a remix to Tiana Taylor, which was originated through the ballroom thing. But we'll go ahead and get into our third segment of All right, this is the weekly tea, and we got a lot of tea this week. I don't even know, honestly, where to start. I think I say this every week, but I'm serious. This week, I really don't. But I know one thing that we really, really wanted to just kick the show off with, just get this out the way, is our gag of the week, because we were all gagging about this topic. So I'll just throw it all out there. This week, a racist student TikTok video went viral, and not in a good way. Two high school seniors in Georgia were expelled for posting a racist video on social media. The students who were not identified by the school's officials were expelled from the Carlton High School Friday for a racially offensive TikTok video posted Thursday that later went viral, the district announced. Now, in the footage, there are two white students. There's one male, one female. They use a racial slur and make a vile, disparaging comment about black people while in the bathroom. The students were apparently trying to mimic some sort of cooking show that they were trying to create. So here's some quotes from the video that we'll also link into the True Tea Entertainment Facebook group. So it starts off with, "Hey, today we're making niggas," the female student says in the clip, which is later shared to Twitter. First we have black. Yeah, pretty black. Next, we don't have a dad. And then we have eat a watermelon and fried chicken. Next one is make good choices, and there's nothing there. The students later continue to, next we have raw people, specifically white. Yeah, they do that. The last one is go to jail. And I guess this is supposed to allegedly be like their recipe to creating a quote-unquote black person. So my question to you all panelists is, why in 2020 is racism still so prevalent and relevant, even in the younger culture who you would assume, like most millennials are pretty aware and up to date with, you know, the changes and what's happening in the world? And why is this happening? I'm baffled, honestly. At it all.
Because y'all grew up in cities.
No shade.
I grew up in the city, but I went to a county school for my 11th and 12th grade year. There was definitely a lot of racism there. I would come out of school some days after I had gotten my car, and I would have like Confederate flags wrapped around my windshield wipers and stuff like that. So
they will fly them in Canada, bitch.
Yes, like they will ride behind you down the road and wave the flags and all that. Racism is a learned behavior. Racism is something that is still impacting different things. Segregation was how many years ago? Like 65 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Depends on where we're coming from.
It wasn't that long ago. So there's still people
living. I'd say it's 1992.
There are still people living. There are still people living from those eras. There's still people teaching those nasty traits and behaviors to their family members.
I also feel like white people are just threatened, especially threatened now. Like, they're just threatened by everything about black people, in my opinion. And I feel like if you're racist that young today, there's something severely wrong with you. Like, there's, I don't know, it's weird.
What would encourage a man and a woman to make a video talking about something today we make a nigga? First of all,
they feel left out.
That's what to me.
They feel left out, bitch.
Yeah, they feel basic. They want attention.
And to me, and it's so sad, but there's a lot of people, white people, who think that it's funny. They think that it's a joke. They think this is a game. They do it for views. And they feel like because they're in the country and they're in their house with their cousins doing whatever that they do, that you know what I mean, that they're safe and that it's okay to do these type of things. And it's not.
I'm going to make my own.
And the gag of this scenario is now the girl is trying to place all the blame on the boyfriend, right? And she's saying it was all him. Leave us alone. We're sorry. We made a mistake. Let us go to school. We should be able to go to school in peace or some shit like that. But there are reasons.
No, but they just got expelled and then doubled down on it and said, actually, I believe everything I said before, and F y'all and black people are monkeys. He is. So.
Those are the type of people who need to be nuked. They just do not deserve to be living.
There's black people that feel like that, so I'm not worried about her. I feel like there's black people who need change, who need their mind changed, so I can deal with white people. I don't care about her. It was funny to me, bitch. I'll make mine next week, bitch. It will be out on TikTok when I learn how to use it.
No shame. I just feel like, I don't know. We need to stop. Like, I do think it's fucked up, but at the same time, I do think us as black folks, we fan a lot of issues that don't need to be, I don't know, issues right now. Basically, this is one racist out of billions or two or whatever who have no power whatsoever.
But they actually have consequences in this situation.
That's a good thing.
And that's the weird
part.
Yeah,
because videos like this are on TikTok every day. Next time.
So basically, do y'all feel like that being expelled is enough of a repercussion for them?
And they're calling
them
for that.
That's They need to be expelled, and they need to go to court, and we need to seek further justice for this. You know what? I'm so sick of people making a fool of us. This, and we need to set an example with them. And you know what? Never mind. Let me go.
We need to go on every day in every school all around the country.
We need a lawsuit against these two.
I said, leave these kids alone. There's all these white kids doing it all around the country every single fucking day, bitch. And ain't nobody doing nothing to none of these motherfuckers. Why is this just these
They
two?
Not on video. They're not on video making
yes, they are.
A video
yes,
like
they
this.
Are.
No.
Yes, they are. That's well,
they
viral.
Is.
They are on there mixing water. Talk about this is no dad mixed with chicken.
Okay, and they ain't got moms, bitch.
Yeah.
White moms leave, black dads leave, bitch. This is what this shit gives. This is what society says. It's funny. I got some shit to say about them, too.
I've got a lot of shit to say about them.
One shot.
All right, so I guess we can just agree to disagree on that last topic. As we move forward, still continuing into our entertainment news, have you all heard about Lisa Ray? I guess she had some comments about the Kardashians recently, and Wendy Williams had some stuff to say. Anyway, I guess I'll give the backstory.
What happened?
So Lisa Ray had... Lisa had some comments about the Kardashian changing body shape, changing their body shapes and, I guess, like, the culture of the world with their plastic surgery. And Wendy Williams, who is 55 years old and has publicly supported the Kardashians in the past, I guess, she's coming to their defense again, this time against Lisa Ray, who blamed the Kardashians for negatively influencing beauty standards for women. Wendy instead blames plastic surgeons for creating fake beauty standards, and is quoted for saying, there are women who are born with natural heart booties and condylous breasts, and, you know, they keep it together. But that's, but what's happening is not the Kardashians told Lisa, it's the surgeons. She continues further even after some more comments and says, the surgeons are up in their game. 20 years ago, we didn't know what a booty implant was. 10 years ago, we didn't know what fat transfer was. 5 years ago, we didn't know what vampire blood facials were. These are doctors getting really smart, and people like families that can afford it, getting it done and getting the full process, amongst a bunch of other things. She was later quoted also saying that though she feels this way and is defending the Kardashians, she does understand Lisa's point of view. She's quoted saying, she, Lisa, is a natural beauty, and in the flakery of everything going on out here, when there are some women born with natural hearts of beauty and good Pendelius breasts, I can't blame Lisa McCoy one bit for being upset at you pissed too. I guess this is news because I don't know why, honestly.
the Ed Sheerans of the world that get surgery that want to be Beyonce.
So, guys,
well, let me say this. Well, I don't see really what's wrong with the Kardashians trying to change their bodies up. I don't think there's nothing wrong with embracing all of that. I think they need to just leave the Kardashians alone.
Well, to be honest, I think that she took the comments out of context. I actually watched the show. Vivica Fox and some other people were on there as well. What they were saying was that black community has so much self-hate, and that it was not popular for people to want big booties and to want luxurious bodies and to want cornrows. Down their black until the Kardashians came out and do it. Now it's normalized and everybody can do it, and Black China can get surgery and everyone can have surgery do this. But prior to the Kardashians making it trendy, people read black women for their bodies and their curves and their hair and their cornrows and said it was ghetto. She said that Lisa Ray said that she couldn't get away with wearing cornrows back in the day because people were calling her ghetto and she wasn't getting rolls. But now that Kim Kardashian and them are doing it, now they want her to wear cornrows on TV and they want her to wear cornrows in public. So I think that Wendy took her content out of context, or Wendy just took it by ear as she usually does from her team and didn't actually take the time to watch the Zoom interview herself.
Right. Wendy's just an idiot. She's a faulty journalist. She never knows what she's talking about, and she thinks so literally. Like, I don't know. Agree with everything.
Wendy Williams don't write her own rap. She just get up there and her team does everything for her. She don't write her own rap.
Exactly.
I love Wendell.
I just don't like that Lisa Ray is giving all the credit that black girls getting in touch with their natural hair is all to Kardashian. But like black girls really went out of their way to make this a thing, and they're giving all the credit to the Kardashians.
That's because black teachers aren't cool on black bodies.
But I feel like J-Lo, Beyonce, Tyra Banks, all these people had these bodies and they always left them. I feel like it's a new thing.
I think Lisa Ray is upset because her biggest role with Players Club and Single Ladies is canceled.
No shade.
I think she is a very intelligent and I think she had a point, and I definitely agree with what she said, but everybody has said that shit at least once, so it's nothing new.
Yeah, and we've watched a lot of plastic surgery shows, and it's been pretty common that a lot of people go to surgeons wanting some type of Kardashian-specific feature at this point, even though technically it's coming from a black, you know, history and whatnot. They want to look like a Kardashian, and I don't think it's the Kardashian fault, per se. I think it's the people, just like we talked about last week with Bad Baby and her cultural appropriation or toning and saying whatever she said about people's hair. It's time that we take back the power. Otherwise, we keep giving them our money. We're giving them the okay to continue doing what they're doing. You know? I look at it just like ballroom appropriation, I guess, in a sense.
We need to eat them up and do something new, bitch.
Period.
Period.
And actually, she can
do some shit
Ballmer.
That she can't do.
No, but speaking of ballroom, I guess this is slightly the perfect segue into the next topic. Have you all heard about the HBO Max new show that is debuting? I guess on May 27th, called Legendary. It's a new Vogue competition show.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot.
I heard
there's
about
a lot of mixed feelings.
I'm
from
so
your reaction
tired of the bullshit.
So what are
so
the mixed feelings?
Just quickly for the
what
people that are listening that might not know the backstory on the show, I guess the new trailer for Legendary dropped this past Tuesday on April 21st. It's a glittery sequin, feather boa kind of scenery, given a dictionary definition of the glamour of the underground ballroom scene. So the show's about voguing, of course. Voguing, for you people who might not know, is a form of dance created in the underground ballroom community roughly in the 1960s, and it symbolizes queerness for the LGBT resistance and the ballroom community. The cast includes legendary MC and ballroom performer Deshaun Wesley, as well as legendary DJ Mike Q. Also, there is Jamelia. Jamil is a actor. There's Dallas Law Roach, trans Wonder Woman of Vogue, legendary Vogue performer Leomi Maldonado, and rapper Megan Thee Stallion is also a part of it. Again, this launches on HBO Max and debuts on May the 27th. But back to what you were saying, Daylin, what are the mixed feelings? And what I've been seeing on Facebook, it looks like some people feel like they did not reach out to the community to be involved, I think,
well,
to sum it up.
So they selected 8 houses. So, and it was a competition between 8 houses. So what would they be reaching out to the community for? They reached out to 8 ballroom houses. Is it because Megan Thee Stallion is a celebrity guest judge?
I think, once again, I don't know, it's that, like, internal thing where they only reach out to folks that they know and folks who they want to see on there. And it starts with folks like Deshaun and all them who pick these people in these houses to make what the show is going to be, because they have the house of Ninja on there. Like, they – let me stop. But that house is on there.
You have to,
and there's some other
you have to be selective, though. With
the hell?
You need people who are going to stay the entire time.
Well,
no shade.
I think
they're
fair with their house selections. Like, in New York City, in the mecca of ballroom, the House of Ninja is still walking in the past. So why wouldn't they when Ninja was a part of the groundbreaking ballroom?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he said the House of Ninja. I think that the show Legendary is actually pretty lit, honestly. I don't know, but that sneak peek thing was ripped. That trailer was really dope, and I think I'm excited to see what's coming from it. I don't really understand why Megan Thee Stallion is exactly the guest judge, but I'm excited to see, you know, how she lives the ballroom and how she, you know, react to everything, and I think everything is about to be fire as far as the show go. Honestly, I don't see no flaws in it.
Hopefully, it gets to go for a second season so that other houses have a chance to compete as well.
Right, I see
it's
another step
for
ballroom to take from host.
If there's a second
I'm
season, Machiavelli definitely needs a slot.
I'm interested to see, like, what the show actually is and how it works, basically.
I've never heard of HBO ever doing a reality show before.
Yeah, and then a dance competition at that. Okay.
Well, the look of it don't look too much reality. This looks like a competition style show. I don't know if they're going to show too much of them off screen. I actually been around some people who was recording during the season, and it was, they were recording off scene scenes, but are like out of the competition. But I don't know if it's going to show too much of that.
Well, y'all know how bothered people are. I had got some inside tea of some of the stuff that was going on while the show was actually being recorded. Like, I guess some people were hired to be like, to help with fashion and get like wardrobe and costumes and different things like that. And Marlon, one of the founders of Gorgeous Gucci, has stole HBO's credit card and went and like used it for other things. So he ended up getting. From the show early, and there was some trans women that were there that was doing some sex work there. Obviously, they didn't get their check until the end of the show. But how did they expect them to support themselves and to eat and different things like that? They did put them up in nice hotels, but they were out there for filming for 6 to 8 weeks. So there was some, the hotel reported that there were some trans women that were sex working in their hotel room, and they had to leave the show early as well. So, you know, but these networks need to realize that when they're working with these ballroom populations, that, you know, some of these type of things come along with working with this community. So if you're going to be making money off of our story, you have to deal with every aspect of that. So I definitely hope that the show is successful, because I definitely wanted to go into a second season, because I definitely want to see more houses play a part in that legacy of battling and doing something on major TV networks.
I read online Marlon, in the group that
late scammer. Oh my god!
Wait, go ahead.
That's a fucking key, man. That is crazy. Oh, I was saying, I read in the group that somebody jumped the driver of the bus or something like that in the
you know
crowd
what?
From. Go ahead.
But the gag is.
Yes, they said in the group that they were transporting the crowd and somebody on the bus drunk the driver of the bus.
You know what? See, it's crazy because they, Lynn, as you were talking, I totally agree with everything you're saying, like as far as, you know, them having to deal with everything that comes along with the community and how we bring it. But come on now, girl, you probably have to clean it up too. Like, we cannot just go everywhere and just run them.
Yeah.
That is just fucking ridiculous. Like, we are not going to get any fucking where with these type of actions. Like, we, at some point, we got to fucking clean it up. As ballroom girls or whatever, we got to set a better example. We can't just be out here running muck like that. What the fuck, y'all fighting the bus driver?
No, Jay, that's a bit much.
And that's why the girls in Europe are going to benefit from this.
Well, I will be watching the show.
I feel like the girls in Europe are also appropriators.
What'd you say?
The girls in Europe are also culture appropriators, culture vultures. So,
agreed.
They are the biggest ones.
So this is my question to y'all. Would y'all prefer ballroom to stay underground or mainstream? Do y'all mind the mainstream thing, or would y'all rather it stay underground?
If you was not descended from... if you was not descended from a plantation, you should not be voting.
What'd you say?
What'd you say?
All I heard was plantation.
If you are not a descendant from a plantation, you should not be bogus.
Period. Oh my god, what?
that comes from the spirit.
What a gag.
Period. I feel like ballroom should be both. But I do feel like it sucks right now that the underground is such a mess to where mainstream is more important and nobody cares about the underground no more.
I feel like ballroom being mainstream is so important to people who don't have other things going on in their lives, or they've made ballroom such a big part of their life. They want a check out of it because that is what they live in free. They need it to take off because they really don't have anything else going on. And for those people, I wanted to go mainstream so that they can have opportunities or can create other opportunities. You've got Laomi and Precious on Nike commercials. That's amazing. That's big. That's huge. But trickle down out of New York City to get some of these other cities and areas and regions as well.
No, I go ahead.
I was just saying I agree. You have this community of oppressed people that have been pushed into this box for years and years, you know what I mean? And finally we're getting recognition for doing what you are passionate about and what makes you happy. I feel like the issue is that for so long ballroom has had no structure, like no professional structure or leadership. I mean, like there's Jack Mizrahi, of course, he's like the president
of ballroom and whatnot. But even with that, there's no one that's like documenting or archiving history correctly. There's no way to really go back and be like, oh, this person was legendary this time. You know, it's more like hearsay, word of mouth, and you kind of learn things as you experience ballroom or whatnot. And I think that is the issue. Like, before this can go mainstream, like, before this can be placed in these white people's hands, we need to figure out, like, how to be archived and so that just like everything else that is historical, there's a story behind it, regardless of who. There's a way to trace back where this came from, like why it's ours.
Yeah. That costs money, and as you can see, the girls will steal it.
It does cost money.
But when are we going to start getting checks?
You can make a library online. Like, I mean, Ballroom Throwbacks could probably easily do it, make a history archive online or something. Or, you know, there are ways to do it. There's Luna, who had her show. She used to interview everybody.
But this is my problem with everyone putting everything in the hands of Ballroom Throwbacks. They are a part of the problem. They are not ball walkers either. They are also profiting from the community on several platforms, from making TV shows, from YouTube, from throwing balls. So if anyone needs to be a historian for ballroom, all the leaders from all these major houses who are old, like Ebony, like Infinity, like a lot of these other, they need to find people to make videos and to make books and different things of their house history and their members' history, because that's what that would be more valid than a spectator doing it.
No shade, I do.
But they do have their own house now, so they are trying to compete.
Sanaya has a house.
Yes,
Mika
neither of them
house.
In the house of. They have the house of Alpha Omega. They debuted in New York when I was there.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry.
The house of Alpha Omega. Okay. Well,
hot man.
We all going straight to hell. But sticking to LGBT news, I'm not sure if you all have heard, but recently this week, New York canceled Pride for the Pride Parade for the first time in history. And I guess this is also following news that San Francisco also recently announced that they will be also canceling their Pride March. Now, I know for us, for the city of Pittsburgh, we have heard little to no updates around, I guess, what's happening with either Pride or any of the Pride activities that take place in the city of Pittsburgh. What are y'all, like, foreseeing happening for this summer? Because it's coming up really quickly. Like, and even us, I
well,
know we had to pause some ideas.
If they had it or not, I ain't going.
Exactly.
July should be safe.
I don't think July is going to be safe. I think that there's going to be an extension of the curfew and the quarantine. I don't think that it's going to be safe to be in big crowds in July. I'm not trying to be a negative person or speak that into existence. This is just me being a predictor. I just don't see that. That's why I moved my ball to December, because I just don't foresee that happening. I want there to be a celebration, but to be honest with you, it was already shaky with our with Delta Pride anyway, because of it being the date being moved back, the location being moved. Now, with all of this going on, I just don't think it's going to be a successful year for them. And this is when they raise their money to operate throughout the whole year. So this could, if Pride gets canceled, Delta just might close, which is what the community wants. So let's I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I hate Pride anyway.
They can't
Pride
afford
month,
to
so
miss
I honestly
a year
don't
of Pride.
Care.
They can't afford to miss a year of Pride. The way that their organization is set up, their overhead is. So, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that if you skip a year of Pride, Delta might disappear?
Depends on if they
I
get allowed.
I think they will. And if so, that is sad, because that shows that that was truly all they did was Pride, which is what they say they don't do.
Well,
but
that's,
this is the year
that
you heard
it. It may be time for Delta to go away. It may be time for Delta to take a seat.
I'm not going to say that that's not all they did, but that's definitely how they paid the bills.
Did they still pay that person last year, right?
They paid them now.
Okay.
Wait, they paid Iggy Azalea?
No, they owe Kesha.
Kesha.
Oh. Oh, right. It was Kesha.
They have a payment plan with Iggy Azalea.
That is like
no, Iggy didn't come. I forgot. Yeah. Iggy canceled. It was Kesha and it was some boy band member, maybe Joe. Nick Jonas or something, I don't know.
No, Nick Jonas was paid. It was Kesha that they owed $250,000 to.
Wow.
Damn.
Did they even give $250,000 to the community?
Okay.
I don't think that they give the community money at all. I think they only take from the community. And they give advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
They allegedly give advocacy work, and if you look at the public information, they do a lot of treating people out for eating and drinking. I see a lot of that entertainment on the budget of their books, which is public information. So maybe they're taking community members out to these expensive restaurants. I see some Hyde Park on there and some McCormick's and things of that nature. They pay Chris Bryant $1,000 a year. Stuff like that. I mean, I don't know.
I think they're done.
Yeah.
I think if they're...
Yeah.
But then at the same time, what'll happen with everything that they prepaid already? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean prepaid already?
Like if they had to hold an artist, or if they had to pay for, I don't know, sponsors or
they never know,
shit like that.
They never know who their performer is until the last minute. I'm pretty sure that there was no deposit given out for a performer for 2020. That's just not how they operate. They're very Also, a lot of their equipment they already own. They already own those tents, those generators, those John Deere machines. They own everything that they need. If any money has been lost yet, it's probably to reserve that part that they wanted to do Pride this year. But other than that, they probably haven't spent any money besides paying Chris Bryant. Have you all heard anything about the Pride that's ran by the trans woman in Pittsburgh?
Oh, I don't know her.
The last thing I heard was that it's still planned until further notice.
Again, I'm not going to be in any crowds.
I'm not going
yeah,
to, I mean,
exactly.
I would go. But
these girls are too aggressive. She needs to just go ahead and let go of the date.
But
then,
she'll get
to perform.
Well, those folks, they don't even care. They will just go there to see her on stage.
And to not feel guilty.
And not care.
She'll be a Shanti.
If it's a Shanti, honey, I might have to go across the street or something.
Yeah, I can meet with the man. Who the man talking to?
Tiffany Evans.
Oh, bitch, I wouldn't dare go outside for Tiffany. And I live for her, but no.
All right, y'all. Well, I want to make sure we continue on to get through the rest of our segments throughout the show. So I got one more hot topic for us before we transition into our Real Housewives of Atlanta update with Daylin. All right, so the last hot topic I want to touch base on, this kind of really just happened as well, but presidential candidate Joe Biden says he won't commit to picking a woman of color for VP running mate. So in a recent interview with Pittsburgh's KDK News, Biden commanded attention when he said he would readily have Michelle Obama as his running mate in a heartbeat, but it was his comments later in the interview that raised concerns, I guess, as black voters paid attention to Joe Biden making the following quote. I'll commit to that. It'd be a woman because it is very important that my administration looks like the public and looks like the nation. And there will be committed that there will be a woman of color on the Supreme Court. That doesn't mean that there won't be a vice president as well. Now, those seem to be the most explicit comments about his future running mate to date, but it's unclear how the strategy might impact his campaign, who is already nearly over $187 million behind Donald Trump in terms of fundraising. A poll last week found that Biden running with a black candidate would boost his chances of winning the 2020 election. Now, Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris have been the two black women at the center of Biden's running mate rumors for months now, but with his recent comments on Monday, those chances are now in doubt. If Biden did not or does not choose a woman who is of color, a woman who is black, as his running mate, that can greatly affect how black women voters, the backbone of the Democratic Party, will react. What are you all thoughts open to the panel?
He knows that's the only way to win. He knows that's the only way he has to win is to have a woman running mate. I mean, it's common sense, and especially a black woman running mate.
And that's why he said he couldn't. You can go ahead, Demi.
Mitt Romney going to transition and he go pick her.
No, I just feel like he already knows who he wants, and he knows that
exactly. He's
not black, so he just can't say it. And I think he's going to choose Warren, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm for Warren.
Me
if
too.
I am
here for it.
If he can have Elizabeth Warren as his running mate and put someone like Stacey Abrams in that other position, why not?
I feel like he should give up
and give Andrew Cuomo the seat to be president, and he'll pick Stacey.
Those will be two. Like, I couldn't see them both in the White House.
Biden just got too much going on.
He does.
Biden is going to win. White folks clearly don't care if you rape them, grab them, touch them, kiss them.
Yeah, but y'all went hard on this impeachment shit, and this impeachment shit had your son's name all in it. Like, and y'all just going to put this man up against Trump, who just defeated it, and he's going to blame it all on your son now.
Yeah, that's crazy. Trump is going to destroy him on TV. He definitely is, and I'm going to feel bad.
Trump is a good debater. All he does is yell fake news, false. You know, he starts doing personal digs, like you're ugly, you're old, you know, stuff like that. Like,
that's against legit people. That's against legit people. But Joe Biden, who actually has a whole bunch of skeletons, Trump just wants to go crazy.
Everybody in politics has skeletons. You just have to have enough money to find out what they are.
I think the thing that puts Trump is he has wits. He has quick wits about him. Joe is too slow, and Twitter is too fast for Joe to keep up with. Trump can, and that's the issue.
Yeah, I would agree.
Pick up his feet and relax. We're going to have another couple more years of Trump. fan. I just, you know, make America great again.
I need these loans gone. I pray Trump does not stay in office, God.
Just pray for the best, I guess.
Here we are once again.
It's giving Game of Thrones.
Where's the Black Panthers at?
Right here, all on the
ladder.
Why he hasn't been assassinated?
We are all here on the phone. We just...
I wondered that too, honestly.
I've been thinking that too for years.
I like him.
He's an entertaining person.
We've been defeated once again.
Demi.
Of course.
She likes Trump. Demi Trump.
She likes
Trump.
America.
If y'all want to look at, y'all just got to look at history, how it came to all this shit, how it came to be, bitch. Y'all see it's a perfect story, bitch. And we went in. Y'all need to be happy. Start having a, bitch. It's Juneteenth. We celebrating hard this year, girl. We went in for the first time.
Michelle Obama need to take that broom out of her ass and just come on and be the vice president because she's our only hope for a black woman.
They need to lose one more time and then she'll be president.
They were very mean.
He's going to pay that black woman and he's going to pay us. Like,
they were very mean and nasty to Michelle Obama and her family. That's why she's not running. If she would have had a better experience in the White House, I'm sure she would run. But y'all keep negating the fact that Obama could run as president as well.
Huh?
Yeah. He's not picking Obama.
Oh, for vice president. We just don't. I'm tired of the same old girls. We need some new young meat in the office. Like, all of the same friends, all of them, they all need to go.
White people would riot if Obama was vice president. Okay.
People don't raise politicians. They don't raise Maxine Waters. They raise little Boosie. We're not going to have black politicians soon.
No shade.
No shade.
Maxine is.
They don't want to nerve it.
I'm saying true.
All right, y'all. All right, so I think we should go ahead and transition, keep us rolling. We got a little over here close towards the end of today's show. But I want to go ahead and transition into our weekly Real Housewives of Atlanta update with Daylin. And Daylin, we got you some intro music today. There you go.
All right. So listen. Last week we talked about Candy Burris being a horrible mother and a horrible wife. It looks like her motherfucking marriage is on the shambles right now. I watched the show, and her and Todd has been going through so much to the point where they're going to need to see a therapist. But I kind of predicted this because she keeps taking these C-celebrity, C-class jobs and putting them over her family. Like, how? She's already rich as hell. You do not need another C-class job. You should be around for your baby being born. Now, I watched the show this past week, and I seen that they had a block party, name reveal, baby shower. It was really, really lit. They had a nice bar. Mama D was there. You know, all the housewives were there. Kiki Wyatt was there. All of the A-list Atlanta celebrities were there. I didn't see Rashida, though, which makes me wonder if Candy and Rashida going through things. But at the fucking baby shower, Nene and Kenya, of course, had a moment. They were arguing. They were yelling to the point where Todd had to call security. Now, everyone's gathered around the table, and Marlo's messy ass says, "Oh, my God, Kenya, I can't see my phone. I don't have my glasses. Can you read this for me?" She hands Kenya the phone. Kenya says, "Google alert." Kenya Moore says, "Nene Leakes is a bully." She, I guess at her Kenya Moore hair care storefront opening, TMZ was there, and she had some really nasty things to say about Nene, about how she doesn't have any real friends, how she's messy, how she's a bully, how she's rude. And she keeps going around saying that Nene wants to spit on her and all these other things. So Nene says, "If I wanted to spit on you, I would." They had an argument. I thought the argument was over. So Kenya walks up, and it looks as if Kenya is about to walk up on Nene and hit her, and then she starts talking to Shamia, which is on the other side of Nene. Now, it looked like Kenya was going over there to attack Nene, but she starts talking to Shamia. She did that to provoke Nene. Kenya's true colors are showing out this season. She's had to delete her Twitter account several times or freeze it, just so that she can avoid all the backlash on Black Twitter. It's ridiculous. So at this point, I really don't think that her and Kenya will ever be friends or ever be cool. Everyone's tried all season to mend their relationship. It's just not going to happen. There's a lot of interviews and commentary on Bravo's YouTube right now. I want everyone to check that out so they can stay tuned. I'm hearing that there's going to be a reunion via Zoom. I'm interested to see what's going on, and y'all know that I'm going to bring y'all the Real Housewives scoop. So moving forward.
Very good. All right. All right, panelists, did y'all have any comments?
Yes, I have a few comments that I want to make. Because I wasn't here last week, and I don't feel like Candy Burris is a bad mother, but I do feel like the way that she's going about working right now is just a complete inconvenience to the birth of her new child and for the sake of her husband's feelings and emotions. And I do know that Rashida is going through some hard times right now with her son and, you know, some very tough legal issues with him right now. So that's probably why she wasn't there at the event, because she has a lot going on in her own world. And as far as Kenya, I just really feel like her true colors is showing so, so much this season. And she's just a nasty person. Like, it's just only so much a person can take. And that's how I felt Nene when she started snapping on her. Even so, every time she drinks, she just finds her and Kenya just always end up getting into it. But I'd be understanding. And I just feel like Kenya's such a nasty person. I think it actually might be a time for her to take a break. And just, you know, figure out some things in her life, because I just don't think that it's cute anymore for a woman of her age.
I agree with everything except the fact that Candy Burris is a bad mother. Now, let's talk about it, okay? This woman, okay, her daughter Riley told her, I don't think that y'all should have another child. You already don't spend enough time with the kids that you already have. Fact. Ace FaceTimed her 2 shows ago and was crying. I want my mommy. I want my mommy. I want my mommy. How are you out doing these filmings and doing these things and have your kids crying that you're not never there and then have another baby on the way? Like she's at worth at least $45 million. Do you really need to take these little C-list jobs? I mean, instead of taking your time with your family and take your family seriously. Like, you only have one mom. You only have one lifetime to spend with your family, to spend with your kids, and to come from an entrepreneur family. I think that it's more important to the kids that you're at home. And I know that these jobs aren't paying that much that Candy is bagging. I know her bigger bag comes from the housewife and comes from her music. These little acting, these little things that she's getting, I know it's not enough money. So, like, girl, what are you doing? I know you want to be an actor.
But why is it okay? Why is it okay for a father? Why is it okay for a father to be away at home, be away from home working all the time, but not okay for a mother?
I don't think it's okay for a father to do that either. I think that that's the reason why a lot of these young Black men are in the predicaments that they are, because their fathers are away. But when
if nobody works, nobody eats.
When it comes to Candy,
I don't think she ever even wanted that kid with him. She just did it for him.
Okay,
that doesn't matter.
Okay, why would you go back and bother them embryos that was in the freezer and didn't have another kid by him? If you didn't want Ace, why would you go and have another kid by him?
So she could go back out there to work.
What?
It's giving Papoose and Remy.
I like Candy Todd.
It's not giving Papoose and Remy, because Todd actually has a job. He's actually running all the old lady gang restaurants. He actually has business endeavors.
Oh, my God.
He actually has stuff going on. So at this point, they're just business partners. They're not even husband and wife or mother and father. Her whole world is in the crumble if she don't give her man and her kids some attention. And she's going to be just
how
like
old
she.
Is she?
But y'all,
how old
is
she?
Y'all think
neglected kids.
Let me
get
like mid-40s. I just don't understand why she would have
43. She's 43.
And one thing, I cannot stand her daughter, Riley. She is so annoying.
Oh, Riley acts just like Candy. That's her dry-ass personality that Riley got. Let me tell y'all something. I think that Candy and Kenya can take a season off. I think that they should bring Phaedra back for a season and bring Kim back, give her a peach, make Phaedra a friend of the show, and they can boot mother Kenya and Candy can call in for a couple episodes. They both just wore me out this season. These two is some annoying bitches. No shit.
No, Cynthia gets on my motherfucking nerves. I cannot.
I
that
think
is the worst
one. More entertaining than Candy.
Cynthia's so late.
56. But again, she's trying too hard. I don't feel like she's acting at all. Cynthia might be acting the whole season. I don't know. I just don't really be feeling like connected to her anymore. She's like weird to me. She's like the cat
she
lady.
Is
like she
weird,
has like a lot of cats.
Yeah, she is weird, but there's a demographic of black women that act like her. Like I know people like her. That's probably who her fans are.
No shade. I feel like Cynthia, she just tries to make everybody happy, and in the process, she lost who she is. No shade.
Okay,
she
so
is too
what about what's her name? What's the lady name from the Martin show that he was of? Francie or whatever her name was. You know she joined the Beverly Hills cast.
Yes! Fancy Gabrielle. Her name's Gabrielle, right? No, it's not.
Or something like that. Gabrielle.
Garcelle.
Like that. I think
Garcelle.
Garcelle, yeah.
Garcelle, yeah.
I can't wait to see what her real personality is like. I think she's a beautiful black woman.
Debuted already.
Yeah, I watched that first episode. I think she is so fab. She is like black excellence. She's kind, but I think that she should. I think that she would really do well on the Atlanta cast. So, but I understand why she's with the Beverly Hills girls because she's still like you know that Beverly Hills type of woman. But you know,
well,
New York City, you know, whatever.
Her husband lives in Beverly Hills.
No shade. All right, y'all. Well, I'm going to go ahead and keep things moving. I do want to also throw out another shameless plug since we're on the topic of reality shows. If you have not already watched, check out Chasing Dallas. I think it's on season 2 right now, but it's a YouTube reality show produced by LGBT community members based in Atlanta. Or is it Atlanta, Des? I think it's Chasing Atlanta, right?
Chasing Dallas?
Chasing Dollars, yeah. They have a Chasing Atlanta as well, but they're currently on Chasing Dollars. But it's a great show. It really will give you an inside look on, I guess, like the LGBT culture in Dallas. And just another
perspective. It's about the girls. Y'all need to watch that.
Yeah, it's the girls. It's a raw, gritty look. But it's a great show. But, okay, on to our local community health and wellness updates with Jay Coley. Coley, let me see.
Going to start with just a quick COVID-19 update. So far in Allegheny County, we have 1,088 confirmed cases and 74 deaths. Nationwide, we have 50,000 deaths. But also 81,000 people who have recovered. So when you look at just the people who have already had an outcome, you know, when diagnosed with COVID-19, it means about 63% of the people are surviving and recovering from COVID-19 across the nation. Just so you all can have a little bit more hope. I know things have been a little depressing lately. And I also wanted to touch on two other things that are a little bit lighter in nature. One, we are going to be having, and we being ULANE Wellness Foundation, is going to be hosting Basia Maitri to do body accessible yoga tomorrow, Friday, April 24th, 4 p.m. on Facebook Live. And in order to participate, you just need four or five pillows, and you can do everything from a seated position. So whether you're on your couch, whether you're on your floor, on your bed, you're able to do this type of yoga too. And finally, a little bit more exciting news, GLAAD is putting together this Together in Pride live stream. It's going to be honoring LGBTQ people during this COVID-19 pandemic. And also the event is going to benefit LGBTQ community centers across the nation. That's one area that I'm especially passionate about, you know, thinking about our, you know, the children, the teens, the young adults, how are they doing, and making sure that we're still checking in with them because, you know, people are especially isolated and thinking about that age range. You might be living with people who are not affirming and not accepting of you, so it could be dangerous. Or you might be living with, you know, people who aren't necessarily your family. When you're thinking of young adults, you know, you typically imagine roommates. So making sure we look out for each other. And also, you know, it's an entertaining event. I think Billy Porter is going to be there, MJ Rodriguez, some other cool people. I don't know everybody on the list, but, again, that's GLAAD, and that'll be 8 p.m. this Sunday, April 26th. And that's all I have for you.
Okay, and thank you for that, Carly. Round of applause to the panelists. The panelists be digging, getting this news and this information every week. So shout out to y'all.
For real.
I did want to just give another shout out to a local community member. She is a trans activist as well, by the name of Mila Ford, who has debuted a new cleaning company called Get It Done Cleaning Company. Get It Done Cleaning Company specializes in cleaning all things, whether it be your home and retail or whether it be anything. So they are currently taking bookings. You can add them on Facebook. Again, it is Get It Done Cleaning Company on Facebook. And they are really willing to negotiate prices and fees and customized services based on your needs. So definitely want to support them. Again, she is a Black woman of trans experience. We want to definitely support the community. And yeah, shout out to them. She can be contacted. It looks like her information is 412-530-5677. That is Camila in Cleveland Brown. They can also be contacted by email at getitdonecleaning412@gmail.com. All right, panelists, how y'all feeling?
Feeling good. Shout out to Camila. I feel amazing.
No shade. I love it. I love being, like, you know, the people just, like, reclaiming their power and doing shit that they're passionate about.
But it makes me happy. Dope.
I wonder how Vanessa feels.
Oh, they're actually collaborating.
Work,
yeah,
ladies.
They're actually collaborating. Okay. Growing up. but, Des, I know that you also had something on here. I'm not sure if you want to quickly go into it, but announcements of new music?
Oh, no.
Come on.
No, because I didn't. No, I'm cool. Right. I'm cool, yeah.
Well, just so everyone knows, if you are looking for some new tunes this weekend or this week, to check into Wale, he's got a new single, To Me. Kelly Rowland dropped a new single, Coffee. DaBaby featuring Ashanti and Megan Thee Stallion dropped also. Lady Gaga's track list released, and there's an Ariana Grande collaboration on there. And also, rumors have it that Megan Thee Stallion and Beyonce might be having a Savage remix collaboration. So, just throwing that out there. If you are a music artist local to the city of Pittsburgh and identify as LGBTQIA+, we want to celebrate you. Each and every week, we are highlighting one local artist at the top of each podcast live on air. The best part about it is there's no fee to participate. Interested in participating, all you have to do is email us over at mp3audiocopy of your track to info, that's info, at true, the letter T, pgh.com. Also, if you're interested in being a special guest on the show, have a story to tell or want to share, you can also contact us again at info@truetpgh.com. Panelists, do you have any closing remarks?
Um,
No. Stay safe, everybody.
All right, then. Thank you all for being here with me, and thank you all for listening to us at home. As always, it ain't just Pete unless it's podcast true Pete. Thank you. Have a blessed rest of the night. We're actually going to go out to your track, Barbie, tonight.
You're a big capture. Don't care. Don't care.